Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Hey everybody, I'm really excited to introduce a special guest. You're going to recognize her, the lovely and talented Sue. She is going to be bringing the word today. Sue is an important part of our church here with her husband Randy, and she's going to be preaching today. She is an author, a speaker, a mom, a grandma, a wife. Pay attention, God has a word for us today through his servant Sue. So let's enjoy this message from Sue.
Hi, everybody. I am so thrilled to be here today. What an honor it is to be able to open God's Word with my new VFF family. I'm so privileged. And when Grace and Matt asked me a few weeks ago if I would share God's Word with you, it was like a kid in a candy store, or many years ago when we used to take our kids to a place called Toys R Us. I don't even know if it's still around. They opened the door for me to pick anything I wanted to share on today. But what came to me that as we head into summer, that we could all use a little bit of refreshment. You know, there's a great passage in the book of Acts, and it's Peter talking, and it happened right after he healed the lame man at the temple. And I'm just going to read it real quick to you. Acts 3:19, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." And what I've discovered is that there is no refreshment like the Lord, like the power of the Holy Spirit. It's an old phrase, there is no high like the Most High. And I'm reminded of Psalm 16:11, one of my life verses, that in his presence is fullness of joy, and his pathways bring pleasure forevermore. So I would love to talk to you, as I said, opening God's Word just briefly about receiving refreshment. Now, for many of you, this is old news, but maybe for a couple, it's something new. Yet, like that scripture I read out of Acts, let's turn to the Lord and get refreshed. There's two great passages that we'll look at, and one is found in Matthew 6:6. Let's turn there now. And Jesus is talking. He says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, shut your door. You will pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So we're going to be talking about the secret place today. But there's another wonderful verse in the book of Revelation, and it's an invitation to come and be with Jesus. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." This is an invitation to dine with Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look briefly at these things. What it means to accept Jesus' invitation to the secret place and to the feast that he lays before us. And what does it mean in regard to when we're waiting on him for something? Is anybody waiting on him for anything? Are you waiting on maybe for a spouse or a baby or a job or your education or to get out of school? Whatever it is, almost all of us are in some type of wait. And the secret place, that dinner with Jesus, can affect our waiting. It also will affect the way we rest. And we're going to learn that less is more when we rest in him, coming from him, in his presence, in the secret place. And then what else is there? There's healing there as well. And then we'll close up with some practical helps. Does this make sense? Now, I want to really try to make this clear that I'm not talking about our daily prayer times or times where we come to open the Word and we're either studying diligently like Matt taught us a few weeks ago, or we're just coming to do that daily touch base in his Word to receive something. I'm talking about a carved place, a set time, a scheduled time. And of course, our schedules are crazy, so there's not generally ever going to be a set time, but a time where we come and we simply just sit at his feet like Mary did, and very much like King David did. beholding his beauty, sensing his presence through the power of the Holy Spirit, and letting him breathe his life through his word. So this isn't a daily thing, more as it is a coming to the waters to be refreshed. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and for our online people, we'll put the questions up there. And for those that are with us today in the service, in the building, we're going to take time to ask these questions. And the first one is, what do you think the benefits are from spending time, this kind of time alone with Jesus? And then second, what are our biggest hindrances from even doing that? Okay, let's take a minute for that. Now, first off, what does the Bible mean when it talks about the secret place? You know, Jesus gives us the cue himself. Many times in the Gospels, we see that he separated himself from the others, from those that were following him, the 12, the 72, and then the multitudes, to be alone with the Father. That's what the secret place is all about. And why is it secret? You know, in different translations, it's going to read differently. But in the New King James and the King James, we also read about the secret place in Psalm 91. He who comes to the secret place of the Most High will be under the shadow of the Almighty. The thing about secrets is it's just between you and generally one other person. See, nobody else can come with you there to the secret place. It's just you and the Lord. Again, it's usually time we have to carve out, like Jesus did, and carve it out and make it a priority. Again, it might only be once every 2 weeks or once a month. Can I tell you that refreshing there can keep you going? And then as you meet with him daily for those short times, when you grab your moments and you flip on your worship music, that you're already in that river of his presence. You are coming to hear his voice. This isn't your laundry list of prayers times. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Laundry list of prayers. We're simply coming to sit. We'll think and we'll look at Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. How many of us know that passage? And yet how hard it is to take the time to be still. But that's what we're doing. We're learning to cultivate his presence. And we do that by simply asking. It's so simple. And I think that's one of our tips that we'll look at the end. Keep it simple. The invitation is always extended for us to open the door and take that secret place time with him. And one thing about the dinner that the Lord spreads, there's no guilt allowed. There's no place setting that says guilt or condemnation or you're not good enough, you're less than. You know what? This is the biggest come as you are party in the scriptures. Just come. We don't come because our act is all together. We come because we don't have it together. And I'm living proof of that. I'll share a little bit at the end. So that is what the secret place means. It's your time to come and cultivate his presence and to wait for his voice. Now, you want to bring your Bible, I believe. There's many times we'll be out for walks or we go to the beach nearby and we probably won't have our Bible in hand. But I'll tell you, God will start speaking. And if he's speaking directly into your spirit or in your thoughts or he gives you a picture, it'll always align with his word. But if you have the time and your Bible's there and you're waiting on the Lord, when he begins to speak, he'll ignite this word. And I'll tell you, it'll make it come alive. His God breath upon it takes place in the secret place. And just as Matt taught us a few weeks ago, it'll actually give us a hunger to want to know more from his word. Now, I mentioned next that what does this have to do with waiting on the Lord? Anybody waiting? Did I ask that already? Anybody waiting on something? Well, what do you think of? But when I'm waiting, I'm thinking of Disneyland, people. Anybody tracking with me? We went there about a week ago, and even though the crowds was just a fraction of a normal crowd, there were no max passes, there were no fast passes, and so there were a few times where we did have to wait. That's what I think of waiting. Now, it's fun in a group and all that, but, you know, most of our waits are very frustrating and infuriating. But the Bible has a whole nother connotation of what it means to wait. And the secret place will help us with that. Let's turn to Isaiah 40 It's a beautiful passage that many of us are familiar with. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. That word there in the ancient Hebrew, kavah, has a whole nother meaning than we think of tapping our watch. It is one of coming and waiting expectantly. What is he going to say? It's a hope in knowing that he will speak. And it's very much like a wait person waiting on you in a restaurant. Think of your favorite restaurant where there's excellent service. They're waiting on you for what you have to offer. What do you desire? It also has another wonderful meaning. It means to be bound up with someone. Isn't that interesting? It's very much like the coils of a rope that are bound together that they become one. To wait on God means to be bound up in him. One of my most life-piercing scriptures has been 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. I had a lot of oppression in my life that the Lord needed to destroy the enemy's hand. But that word destroy there really means to loosen, to untie a knot. And how beautiful it is that when we wait on God, it is the place where he unties our knots, and yet we find ourselves bound together with him. That changes our weight. The secret place, if you're taking notes, is a place of God's rest. Like I said, it is a place where we discover that less is more because of him. John 15 and Hebrews 4 invite us into his rest. That is where we cease from our labors and we wait on him again for direction. What is he saying? It's a place where at the dinner table where we've come and we've opened the door, we've asked Jesus to come in and dine, and we're making an exchange. We're making an exchange of our busyness for how he would do things. And that's why less is more. Because when we come with all our stuff and all our frantic thinking and our obsessive thinking, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to get this done, I've got this deadline. When we take the time to sit with him and let him do the rearranging, when we come from a place of rest, hearing his voice of what is the next step to take, we waste so far less time. In fact, can I say we will not waste time at all? You know, when we look at Jesus as our cue, he went and visited with the Father. He had his secret place, it says, up in the hills. And he came down and you would see that he would immediately know what to do. From that place, in one portion of the Gospels, it says he picked the 12 disciples. He knew what to do next. He didn't draw lists, it doesn't say, of pros and cons and this guy and that girl and that. No, he waited on the Lord and the Lord gave him wisdom. That's the power of being in his rest and in the secret place. And personally, for me, life turned on a dime for me in the secret place because I always questioned, God, what is your will for me? What should I do? What's my purpose? What's my destiny? But the minute I just started coming, can I say I knew what to do next? Romans 12 tells us when we surrender and our thoughts are transformed, we will know the will of God. Less is more because of the secret place. And finally, there in his presence, when we open the door and we have the feast, we exchange our, as it were, we might have been sitting at the table eating a moldy hot dog with a frappuccino that's been 2 weeks old. And Jesus comes in and he wipes that off the table and said, here's my feast for you. Because that's what the secret place is. It's feasting upon him and his presence. But one thing we see in there is that wherever Jesus is, and we read this in the Gospels, wherever he was, wherever his presence was, he healed people. And in this secret place, we will find healing. A little bit of my testimony is that I was a Christian from a very young age. I experienced him just probably at about 5 years old, gave my life to him, and in my teen years experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Met my husband, Randy, and almost immediately we were in pastoral ministry. Can I say, no reflection on Matt and Grace, but you can be in pastoral ministry and still be a hot mess. And I was. Things that I had not dealt with from my past, insecurities, lies of the enemy, led to some really debilitating behaviors in my life. And it was not good. But I still loved the Lord, and he still had his hand on me. But I lived a very much a mountain-to-mountaintop type of Christian life with big swings to the valleys in between. I knew that is not what I read in the scriptures, especially the New Testament, the writings of Paul and the invitations of Jesus, that there was so much more. But yet I didn't know how to connect the dots. I didn't realize it was simply coming and opening the door and letting him bring his feast. But about 17, 18 years ago, I came to a place where I just really felt the Holy Spirit, that call that you sense, you know, is it really you, Lord? But you take that step that he wanted for me to live in his presence daily. And I made a decision, even with still some hangups. I was at a place where I still couldn't control my thoughts. That was something that I carried from my childhood. I could live in a fantasy world just as easy as I could live in reality. God had delivered me from many things, but my thought life was still a challenge. Maybe a few of you know what I'm talking about. But when I made that decision and I heard his call and I opened the door and I just simply came, even though I was still really troubled within my thoughts, it was there I found healing. In his presence, there is healing. I learned to order my thoughts and I felt the power of the Holy Spirit and again, the power of God's word to speak truth to my life. So that took place, as well as just a few years ago, healing from stage 4 incurable cancer. I talk about that a lot because it reveals the power of God in a person's life. I believe there, in the secret place, I found physical healing. Just by simply coming, no guilt allowed, coming with all my warts and all my failures and all my stuff, and just letting him speak, learning how to wait, that the wait could be thrilling, learning how to rest, because the rest, I'm motivated out of that, I make clearer and better decisions. A lot of the periphery stuff just flows away. So there is real power in coming and sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's not a waste of time. You're going to waste less time. But let's finish out with some practical helps. Because this may be new to some of you, and some of you may be rolling your eyes right now and saying, you know, this is just one more thing on my Christian to-do list. I have to do one more thing. Well, let it be the one thing. Let it be the one thing. I'll tell you, everything else will fall into place. Can I just guarantee that out of Jesus' own words? To seek the one thing that Mary knew, that just to sit at his feet will be more than enough. He'll take care of the rest. But practical help. Put it on your calendar. You know what? This is going to be the most challenged time in your life. This fighting for your secret place time or your time alone, whatever you want to call it, your dinner plate, your dinner time, your Starbucks time with Jesus, your date with Jesus, however you want to call it, it is going to have to be fought for and you're going to have to actually get your phone out and put it on your calendar. Can I challenge you right now to think of a time in the next week or two where you could carve out, and I'm going to start you small, with only 15 minutes. I'm going to come, and I'm going to be with the Lord. Put it on your calendar. Next, when is the best time to meet with the Lord in this way? And I love Pastor Wayne Cordero in the book Divine Mentor. He says the best time to meet with Jesus is when you're at your best. Are you a morning person, an afternoon person, or an evening person? Now, can I tell you, when I started this, when the Lord really put that on my heart, I was just so hungry and so desperate for him that I made the decision I wasn't going to live without his presence any longer. that I was working full-time for a major hospital. We were pastoring a church. I was starting to speak outside my church, and I was doing counseling in the evenings when I got home from work. So I know what it's like to have a crazy schedule. And so the best time is when you're at your best. Now, if you have small kids, that's probably the hardest time to find this. You may have to lock yourself in the bathroom, but I give you permission to do that. How's that? Just schedule it and get somebody to make arrangements. You make arrangements with other people so that you can have some uninterrupted time for just 15 minutes alone with the Lord. That's point number three. So I didn't confuse anybody. Put it on your calendar. When's your best time? Make your arrangements. Get comfortable. That's number four. Just come as you are. This is a time to be with Him. And you know what? That scripture that I quoted earlier, be still and know that I am God, that word still in the original Hebrew, it means relax. Relax in the Lord's presence and let Him refresh you. Put your phone down. Put it in another room. It'll distract me every time. If you need to have it nearby for emergency reasons, then turn it upside down at the least. Our phones are probably one of our biggest distractions. Bring your Bible. If you're not out for a walk, and many of us will be out walking, that's where we connect with God. But I want to tell you, He will want to speak to you from His Word. So carve at least one of these secret place times fairly often to open His Word. He's going to remind you of a verse that will lead to another verse and to another verse. And pretty soon you're going to start to sense your spirit filling up with a fresh word from Him for you in your current situations. This has not failed me because He has not failed me. And His Word will come alive. And if it helps, helps me, is worship. Just start the time in worship. You're like that waiter, that wait person coming to wait on you. And sometimes it helps us to really focus on Him. We start thinking about how good He is, how great He is, how He's come through for us, how Jesus heals and how He saves and how He delivers. Just start offering, not fancy words, just simple words of worship. It'll help to get your thoughts on Him. And then you'll see the heavens open and you'll start going, oh, the Lord's saying this. Oh, I sense peace. I didn't have peace when I sat down here, but I'm sensing, oh, Lord, I come. I worship You. I thank You. This is not laundry list of prayer times. It is a time to hear from Him. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let Him guide your thoughts. He may lead you into prayer. He may lead you into spiritual warfare, but you let Him do the leading. And finally, don't get discouraged your first time or two. It's not that the Lord is not there. I think that's one of the hindrances that we don't come often as we think He's going to show up for everybody else, but He's not going to show up for me. That's a lie. And put it aside. But don't be discouraged because sometimes we've just gotten so crazy busy, our schedules and our kids and, you know, the car broke down and the refrigerator is leaking water. I mean, whatever it is, those things that can distract us. And we have gotten out of the habit of just sitting in His presence and saying, Lord, just come, just relaxing, relax before the Lord and know He is God. So don't be discouraged. You're like it were at old priming the pump. He will come. And if in 15 minutes you don't sense or you don't get a word, that's okay. The next time you come and come again, you're going to start. It'll start to flow and then it'll become a way of life. Again, am I perfect in this? By a long shot. But can I live without it? No. And from the scriptures, we know all the heroes that we love in the faith had this time alone with Him, just you and Him, me and Him, eating a feast in His presence. Can I pray? Lord, thank You for this wonderful time. I pray even now, peace will settle on every person who has heard this, and there will be a quickening in their heart. By that, I mean a coming alive, Lord, a dripping, as it were, of the Holy Spirit, of the invitation that we've maybe been running around so much that we've forgotten to be refreshed or that we even can be. Lord, it's all You, all the time. And we want to know You in personally. We want our Christianity to be reality and not theory only. Lord, please cause each person to take home a gold nugget and that they can tuck into their lives and begin to look at their calendar to schedule. I ask this, Lord, in your beautiful name, the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys.
All right, wasn't that a great time? Weren't you blessed today? And as we go, let's remember to be the church. All right, see you next week.